Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Happy lunchtime, everybody. The Carson Anderson Program. I am Doug Karsh. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. We got Kang behind the glass. Kenny back there answering phones. Quick question. Kenny, is the hot dog roller still in your living room?
As of right now, the hot dog roller is still in the living room.
What day is this? How many days has it been in the living room?
This has been, so, New Year's Eve to now. So I think just...
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's 10 days.
Yeah, that's 10 days. You're right. That's exactly right.
How many times has it been used?
It has been used, I think, 4 or 5 times now.
Oh, man.
So Kenny got a hot dog roller for Christmas and made the strategic decision on New Year's Eve when he was game watching to move it into the living room and put it on the table next to the couch. His girlfriend, who lives with him, has yet to demand that it get moved back out of the living room. And we're wondering how long this will last. So far, it's a 10-day run of hot dog roller in living room.
We're going strong, baby.
We are going strong. Question is, he's considering now a cooler. Just put a cooler in there with the dogs on ice, maybe a pack of buns, some condiments then in the cooler, perhaps a beer or two or six, and never have to leave the couch. Except... the occasional bathroom break.
It's an all-time lazy move. I'm willing to cop to that.
Yep, yeah. and we
he's a diaper away from really.
Yeah, this is that's where it really. Yep, but we're going into a 5-day weekend of playoff football, college and pro. Will the hot dog roller survive the weekend? We'll circle back, see if you make it through today, we'll see. So 10 days so far, hot dog roller in the living room. All right, some NFL facts that may or may not be interesting to you. Are you ready, my friend?
I am ready.
Okay. Fact number one. Every team in the NFL, as of right now, owns their own first-round draft pick.
I think I knew that.
Did you?
I think I knew that, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm always looking to think, okay, what if you have the top pick and you want to trade back, who's got the 2 first-round picks? And I don't think anybody has, so that would make sense.
It's kind of wild. Can you remember the last time that happened?
No. It feels like every season there's several teams that have 2 first-round picks.
What will be more shocking is if every team actually selects a first-round player, right? I mean, if we would get to draft night, nobody moves around, or there's no flip-flopping of picks, and every team just goes ahead and drafts a first-round pick. But I can't remember the last time this happened. And I didn't have time to do all the research, but I was just kind of looking through some because you know what it was? I was trying to put together the answer to where does Tyreek Hill end up? And so I was looking at, you know, okay, does anybody have multiple draft picks? How does this go? Et cetera, et cetera. And I realized that everybody has their own draft pick.
Is Tyreek Hill going, I feel like he is. So maybe I'm asking a question, is it right? But is he going to end up his career being Odell Beckham Jr. going down that road where he was so good, so talented, and then just kind of fizzled out. Antonio Brown. Is this where he's headed? He's so talented.
No, Tyreek Hill and Antonio Brown still had really, really good careers. The Odell Beckham thing, once he left New York, it was just never the same. He didn't have the longevity that he did. And then Tyreek does have a Super Bowl ring.
It's true.
So, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, early
Odell.
I guess
Odell does it too as well, but. The Rams, really. He got hurt in that game.
Okay, another one here, which maybe, I don't know. I when I read it, I found it shocking. Maybe it's not shocking, but no quarterback drafted after 2018 has won a Super Bowl.
Well, you have to think that the guys drafted before that, you have Mahomes, so he's got several of those.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a 6-year window to win it.
In that time, Tom Brady won one in New England and one in Tampa.
So you got 2 there. You got, 3 for Mahomes, and then you have Stafford?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's one more. When Philly won it,
I
think Philly won it in 2018.
And they won.
And it was Foles.
Yeah, Nick Foles. And
so there's that, which may be just a testament to two guys, Brady and Mahomes, taking up, I think, five of those Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But it does seem like an inordinate amount of time, right?
It does, and yet you like people are poised and ready for the next one, whether it's Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. Is it going to be Jared Goff, Jalen Hurts? You know, for this year, those are the big challenges to Mahomes. And then, you know, you kind of feel like some people – I made the proclamation earlier this year that Joe Burrow will never win a Super Bowl, even though I think Joe Burrow is great. I just think that Cincinnati's a train wreck and – they won't be able to fix the defense enough to make them relevant.
All right, and we'll wrap it up with not this is not a fact, but this is a question. Should the Lions make it to the Super Bowl? Which quarterback do you fear the most out of Lamar, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes?
That's a great question. I kind of rule out Mahomes. I think Mahomes' run with Kansas City is going to take a hit this year. And yet they won 15 games. They just find ways to win. You know, it's crazy what they do. But it feels like he just doesn't have as much to work with. But good luck betting against Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen, we've seen how good he can be. Lamar Jackson, we've seen how good he can be against the Lions. I'm a bigger Lamar guy than I am a Josh Allen guy. I think they're both outstanding quarterbacks. But, I mean, all three of those guys would strike fear in you. I was actually talking to my mom last night, and she was asking about the Super Bowl, and, you know, did the Lions really have
a chance? She asked this very same question?
But she asked me similar, because I started thinking about, you know, teams from, like, she said, can you really get there? I'm like, they can get and she loves that, by the way. I said they can get there because I think they are the best team in the NFC. I think the Lions are legitimately the best team in the NFC, not just record, duh, but I think just the way they play right now, even with the injuries, I think they're better than everybody else. You get to the NFC contender, and that's where things get tough because there are so many teams there. You just listed a triumvirate of teams that they have a legitimate shot of being a Super Bowl champion, and they all present really difficult challenges for the Lions.
So again, I ask you.
Lamar scares me the most.
Lamar scares you the most.
Yeah, because I think people way underestimate his throwing ability. And he threw like 30-something touchdowns this year.
Okay.
He's accurate as hell.
Which quarterback, if the Lions are fortunate enough to make it to the Super Bowl, which quarterback scares you more, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen?
So now you're asking.
I'm just asking you for two.
Out of Mahomes or Allen? Mahomes.
Scares you more?
Yeah. It's really about Kansas City more than Buffalo, I guess, because the Kansas City is a much better defense than Buffalo does.
So we're sitting around the office this morning, and Kang says, I got to tell you, out of Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar Jackson, Mahomes scares me the least. And that's insane.
Right. Right.
And you're exactly right. I was started going, no. And then I went, well, Lamar and Josh. And I'm like, actually, yeah. Mahomes scares me the least. And that's insane. It's ridiculous. And you only have to be one of them to win a Super Bowl.
But yeah, we'll play whoever, but.
But.
It just makes you sound stupid, right?
Yeah, it sounds dumb.
Like, I'd rather play Mahomes. What?
You what?
Yeah, if you're throwing these scenarios at me, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, Lamar and Josh Allen scare the hell out of me. And not that Mahomes doesn't, but between the three, I'd rather play Mahomes.
It's crazy talk, and I agree with it. Totally agree with it.
Does the ankle, does that play any role?
Oh, the injury?
Yeah. Oh, Doug, going all bloody sock on
you. Dude, I got to tell you, like, what was I watching? I was watching something on Netflix. I started watching Chiefsaholic, and I couldn't take it. And they were showing the Chiefsaholic guy watch the Super Bowl, and I don't know if you remember Mahomes right before half. He got hurt. Oh, is he going to play in the second half? Oh, he played and they won the game. Mahomes is always hurt. And he always comes back. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was like a couple weeks ago they were saying, should they even rest him? He's dinged up and he was fine. Right? Like, I was talking about, yeah, give him a rest. Give him an extra bye week. He's dinged up. No. It was fine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, but you are more scared of Mahomes than you are Josh Allen, but
slightly. Just yeah. Because, but it's a Kansas City over Buffalo thing.
Fair enough. 248-539-9797. Carson Anderson, 97.1, the ticket. Lions, number one seed in the playoffs. They got the bye this weekend. A fantastic football weekend. This weekend needs a nickname. With the five straight days of playoff football. I feel like this weekend. Like the five-day
football frenzy.
Yeah, I mean, you've got like the Final Four in basketball, the Frozen Four in college hockey, you know, Super Sunday. Feels like this weekend with the college and a pro game, we need a nickname for this. Something we can market and print shirts, and then we can retire. You got something?
How do you feel about Pentamonium?
I don't know what
five for penta.
Yeah, but
Pandemonium. You get
Pentamonium.
Pentamonium. It's football Pentamonium.
Well, it's starting to hit a little bit.
Take some root there.
Yeah, when you go into your Banff voice.
Right.
Or just $499, you get
Banff! Escape Banff from March 1st. Yeah. Game day.
Pentamonium. Yeah, that could work. Maybe we'll take some suggestions. What should this weekend be called?
Football Pentamonium.
Gator likes football Pentamonium, and I don't hate that, actually. I'm not sure. It's almost like it's too many syllables. Final four. But
this is Pentamonium.
It is Pentamonium.
Football style.
There you go.
Pigskin Pentamonium.
Okay. Oh. I like that even more. Maybe we don't need any more suggestions. We just go with Pigskin Pentamonium. I got a lot of feedback coming in here on the quarterback thing. Should the Lions advance to the Super Bowl? We're doing a lot of if-then topics. There's a lot of if-then topics.
I don't like the if-then statements. It takes me back to math. And
right. Is that proofs and
the proofs
and geometry?
Yeah. I did not do well with that at all.
Once it math transcended numbers,
done.
Gator was complete.
Out. I was so lost. I mean, sophomore in high school, and I'm like, what am I doing? I don't know.
What do you mean X equals 7?
What happened to 3 plus 3?
So anyway, feedback coming in. Doug in Rochester says, I fear Lamar the most, but any mobile quarterback will beat Detroit when it counts. Okay, will they? Any mobile quarterback will beat Detroit when it counts. They've beaten plenty of mobile quarterbacks this year. They beat Kyler Murray, right? Remember how Geno gave him all those problems? They beat Geno.
Yeah, they did. They beat Caleb Williams.
Yep.
Twice.
So
the Bears. I mean, look, they didn't, but they didn't beat Josh.
Purdy's mobile. They didn't beat
Purdy
Josh Allen.
They didn't beat Josh Allen. And those other teams are not. They're not playoff teams.
Here's one thing you can count on. If you drive around the country and listen to sports talk radio, invariably, if you listen long enough, someone will call and say, well, mobile quarterbacks give our defense a hard time. We can't stop a mobile quarterback. Every fan base believes that.
Well, yeah. The problem is with the Lions, the last 2 years, the biggest losses they've had have been to Buffalo and Baltimore.
in terms of biggest score.
Like, it feels like it. Like the one where they just got smoked and they had no chance. Although Buffalo, they had a chance.
The Buffalo game was close in the score.
But they gave up so many points.
The Lions were always one score behind from it being close. Like when the Lions scored to make it a one-score game, Baltimore always answered.
Or Buffalo, yeah.
Yep. Buffalo, yeah, sorry. I have no fear of Patrick Mahomes. The dynamics of Lamar and Allen scare the crap out of me. Okay. Having no fear of Mahomes actually is insane. Kang and I saying that we fear Mahomes less than Allen and Lamar sounds insane. Having no fear of Patrick Mahomes is insane. Daryl in East Point, Mahomes doesn't scare anybody because we've beaten Kansas City already. Doesn't scare anybody? Do you think one win over Kansas City means they've solved the Rubik's Cube of Patrick Mahomes? Come on. Mahomes and the refs are the biggest threat. That's from an unnamed texter. A case can be made that Kansas City is the benefits from a friendly whistle more than maybe any team in the history of sport.
And the script writers of the NFL, of course.
It's like asking who scares you least, Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, or Mike Tyson. Yeah, well, good news is to win a Super Bowl, you only have to beat one of them. 248-539-9797. Jacob in Rochester, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Just wanted to comment on what the last 5 days of playoff football in a row should be called, and I had a question I've been thinking about for you guys for the last 6 months or so.
Okay. Okay.
As far as the last 5 days of playoff football, I think the Last Stand Long Weekend would be a great name for it.
Last Stand Long Weekend. It is a long weekend.
So, you know, I think he's playing on, the 5 days in a row going through Friday and Sunday. I think that'd be a good name for it.
But it's it's not the last stand for the NFL teams.
Not really the last stand, but it's breaking down to it. But I get what you're saying. Makes sense. But my other question for you guys, though, I was wondering, a lot of the time I hear about projections for how this season's going to go, how next season's going to go. But I wanted to get your guys' take on where you think each of the Detroit sports teams will be in the next 3 to 5 years.
Well, Jacob, we only have 2.5 minutes till the break, but all the Detroit sports teams. So we'll start with DCFC.
Don't want to rile them up.
Is the arrow pointed up for everybody?
I mean, it is. Yeah, although maybe the arrow with the Lions is just kind of, hey, it's sustained.
Sustainable.
Yeah.
We've leveled off at this high level.
But, I mean, yeah, we're all – I'm really excited about the future of the Tigers. If I get disappointed if they don't land one of the third basemen out there, I'll still be excited about the future because I think the future is incredibly bright with the prospects they have coming down the road. And, of course, prospects may never pan out, but just how I feel. We've talked about the Pistons. Feel like we're getting they're starting to move up the elevator a little bit, which is nice to see. They're better than 500 now. I like that direction. The Red Wings, it's similar, but I need to see more from the Red Wings. They'll play tomorrow night, and let's see how they do there. But it's more about can the guys they've drafted recently step in and show that they're better than what the team has right now. Is Danielson going to be a guy that we love to see? Is Sandin Pelikka, the defenseman, is he going to be somebody who steps right into the lineup and automatically improves the power play and look really good at it? You know, the players they've drafted recently, Kosa, and then the forward, the Norwegian forward they just got, and Brandzek Nygaard. I'm hopeful.
Yeah, we just went through like a 3-4 year span where there was very little hope on any front. And that is over, and it is so great. We are lucky to have the Lions where they are. We have the Tigers in the postseason, and now we have a Piston team trending towards that.
Yeah, and
they could all make the playoffs.
With the Tigers, I feel like I have to mention every time, not only did the Tigers make the postseason, they won a series in the postseason. They knocked off the Houston Astros. It took them down.
Yep.
And they were a game away. They got into the last game, the deciding game against Cleveland to take down the Guardians.
Dangerously close. They were up 2-1 in the series. Came dangerously close to winning that series. But yeah, there's a lot to be excited about. Speaking of the Tigers, could they be in play for this veteran? John Morosi thinks so. We will get to that at 12:35 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. So, Kang, of course, we asked for something, and it means we usually get it, and that was suggestions for what to call this football weekend.
Yeah, they're coming in a lot here, and I'm going to try to clean up some of this for you guys.
Yeah, are any of them good?
Well, I'll read them off, and you guys tell me if you like them or not. All right, you ready, Gator?
It's got to be better than Pigskin Pentamonium.
Whoa. Shots fired,
no,
Gator.
No. He's saying that's where the bar is.
Oh, okay.
So it's got to be better.
Oh, okay. Got to be better. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, you mean?
I thought you meant the way you said it was. It can't be any worse.
Jeez. Amateur hour over here.
Even the worst one has to be better. Pigskin Pentamonium.
Way to put the thinking cap on, Gator.
All right. So we got college and pro football playoff weekend thingy.
Congratulations, whoever that was. That is somebody that gets the show.
Yeah, they didn't sign their name, so. Another one wants to know, did Gator just admit to show prepping with his mom? But that's a different story. So you guys were just talking football.
I mean, listen, man, you get inspiration wherever you can.
Okay. The wannabe.
If Breida's got an idea, I'm going to listen to what Breida has.
I'll listen to it too. The wannabe weekend.
Wannabe weekend?
Like the teams that want to be contenders, I guess. Okay. Wannabe's weekend.
I wanna.
NFL, all right, well, this could be NFL or college. How about wild card freakend? Sean and Fenton.
The freakend?
Yeah, the freakend. Wildcard freakend.
Freakend.
Football freakend.
The football freakend. Okay, right. We can work with that.
Gary in Birmingham says football traffic jam.
Okay.
All right. Five finger football death punch.
I don't think that would sell well on a shirt.
Oh, I think it'd sell on a shirt for sure. I just don't think that they'd want to.
I don't think they'd put it in the stadiums.
Maybe
not. The five-fingered football death
punch. Yeah, but outside the stadium, they'd sell out in a heartbeat.
Yep. Yeah, gas station parking lots across America.
Exactly. Yeah. Just make sure everything's spelled correctly.
Yeah, or not. Pigskin Palooza.
Okay.
We got Forget Your Family and Friends Weekend.
Yep, that's kind of what it is.
Marriage test football weekend. I think Kenny had wild card weekend widow or something like that going on too.
Okay.
So I don't know. Yeah, that's what we got so far.
Well, I like the five finger football death punch, and I like the long football freakend. But let's just say this is going to be awesome. College game day tonight at 6:00. I assume tomorrow night at 6:00 as well. Tomorrow night, though, I got a kid with a basketball game. So I'm going to miss.
So you watch
probably the first half. Yeah, I was thinking about that. It is one of the more rural stops on the conference schedule, so I'm not sure what the the cell situation will be, but I will likely have the phone fired up on Ohio State, Texas. So. All right, before the break, we just mentioned that there was a report out there, and it came from John Morosi, that the Tigers could be in play for a veteran. He tweets, the Mariners and Tigers are options for Nolan Arenado if the Red Sox and Cardinals aren't able to reach an agreement. Okay, he's 33 years old, turned 34 before next season. Last year, I mean, he still hits for average, doesn't walk a ton, still has some pop in the bat. He had 16 home runs. I'm worried a little bit about that trend, 34, 30, 26, 16, and then put him in Comerica Park and what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's that. It's the, you know, years 34 to 36 that would be that you'd worry about paying him roughly $25 million over each of the next 3 years. I think he's owed like $74 million still left in his contract for the next three seasons. There's that. But the upside is that apparently the Cardinals would be willing to take on some of the salary to facilitate a trade.
Hmm.
So that's an upside to it. Defensively, he's an incredibly gifted third baseman. He's very, very good. But, you know, obviously it's a comparison. You're going to compare that to Alex Bregman. Bregman comes in younger, be more expensive. You'd have to do it for longer term with Bregman more than likely. Both players have downward trending OPSs, but Bregman's is still much better than what Arenado's has been. So I think player-wise, I'd rather have Bregman, and I don't think it's even a question of it. It's just money in term. Does that come into play of you know, how badly do you want Alex Bregman? It's still, nobody's gotten it done yet. It has to feel to me that at this point you'd be bidding against yourself. Like, I think the Tigers might have the best offer out there for Alex Bregman. Whatever the offer is, Bregman's camp still feels like he should get more. And if you're the Tigers, you're like, well, this is where we're offering, you know, because clearly you know that nobody else is offering that kind of money. And if it comes down to the Tigers, Toronto, and Boston for that, Boston's already got a third baseman. So does Bregman want to move over to second baseman? If it's Toronto, well, you know, Toronto's dollar doesn't go as far as the American dollar goes. So that is a concern, you know, much like players would consider playing in other states because of tax issues. Same thing goes with playing in Canada. So the Tigers might be sitting in a good position still for Bregman, and they might have to up the ante. We don't know what the offer is, if the Tigers have made an offer, but I feel like they have made an offer. At this point, you would think that they would have had an offer. The reports that they definitely met with camps.
For Bregman.
Yes.
Yeah. I can't help but shake this feeling that Bregman is like, okay, I've got this deal with Detroit, but anyone? Anyone else?
Well, and what would be the reason to say that? Is it, you know, I hate hearing people complain about the dimensions of Comerica Park, you know, and it's not home run hitter friendly. Okay, fine, but you can hit the gaps and you're driving in runs and, you know, there's still produces plenty of runs. And then it's the familiarity with playing for a manager. Well, obviously played in Houston with AJ Hinch, but Alex Cora was there too. So he knows about Cora and he knows about Hinch and apparently likes both guys. I'm surprised nothing's been done yet, that this one has not, he has not pulled the trigger on it yet. Does it tell you that, is it money or is it term? Like, have they agreed on money, but the Tigers are like, we'll give you five, but we can't give you 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's something holding that up. If you'd asked me back in December before we did all the vacation time, when we get into January, will there be a Bregman deal done? I would have thought there would have been. I think Bregman's going to be a Tiger. I don't think Arenado's going to be a Tiger. I think Bregman's going to be a Tiger. And I'll have to get used to the fact that I think that this is going to be a punitive contract in the last half of it. But could he help them now, right away?
With this good window, with the Tigers, it feels like there could be a long window open, but they would still have to spend some money in other areas in the future. But I like Bregman for this team. It just seems to make sense.
The money is so much for a guy that's trending in the wrong direction, but
that's money in baseball right now. You know, the salaries are only going up, and if you get Bregman for $30 million a year, it seems crazy because
it's
just
this kind of thinking that leads into a Javi Baez contract. I know you're right, but this is how you end up with a Javi Baez contract.
It is. But the other thing is that it's just money. Whereas if you get Arenado, you have to trade for Arenado. Mm-hmm. So it's the money isn't as much that it would be for Bregman, but there's a cost involved with players you give up, prospects you would give up. Yeah, I like the idea of getting somebody just go out and buy the player as opposed to having to give something up.
Do you either one of you guys think that Scott Harris or Ilitch is going to overspend for anybody, though? And that's not like a shot at them. I'm just saying that you're worried about money. I don't think they're going to overdo it for anybody.
But if they have the top offer for Bregman, I mean, it's on Bregman and what he wants to do. And Scott Boris, and are they like, okay, look, we've got $180 million on the table from the Tigers. The Red Sox, they're not going above 165, and Toronto is is at 170. This is the best deal. And the Tigers are not going to bid against themselves. They're not going to say, okay.
That's my point.
Yeah, and they won't. So, but they may not have to overbid. Because if they end up having the top offer, I mean, what makes the Red Sox offer more attractive if it's less?
Nothing tells me that what they've done so far is they're not going to offer something they're not comfortable with. I'm talking about the Tigers. And Evan Petzl, the Free Press writer, you know, the Tigers beat writer for the Free Press, did a podcast a couple weeks ago where he said that I think he expects Bregman to be signed by the Tigers, but I think the disagreement and why he's taking so long, whatever, is the value. They're coming up with what do we agree on value here? And I think that's length of contract. Yeah. A lot of it is. It's 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and I don't.
The Tigers don't want to go past 5.
And maybe other teams don't want to either. So that's why it ends up being, do the Tigers have the best offer out there?
248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback. Gator, I just saw a very interesting trade. And I want to get your take on it. Very interesting trade.
Was it a lunch trade that I didn't see? Something?
It's along those lines, yeah.
Oh.
Honestly. We'll get to that coming up today at 12:50. Football fans, buckle up, because for the first time ever, we got 5 straight days of playoff football in college and the pros. They're calling it the 5-finger football death punch. No, they're not. FanDuel is calling it the great playoff payoff. That's a no-sweat same-game parlay every day for all 5 days. With a no-sweat same-game parlay, you can combine your bets from the same game for a chance of bigger winnings. You do this, and if your bet doesn't hit, you get your money back in bonus bets to bet on anything you want. So, you know, you miss tonight, put your money on the money line tomorrow. Ohio State, Texas, something like that with your bonus bets. And you can also do a same-game parlay tomorrow. And if you miss on that, you can roll it into NFL games on Saturday. So visit FanDuel.com/Doug as part of this epic run. Don't forget, the opt-in is required. So go to the top of the page. You got to click on the button there, claim the offer. And then when you make your bet, there's another button you got to click on that says, you know, that you've accepted the offer. So do that. It must be 21 or over. That opt-in required. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Maximum refund is $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. When David Montgomery went down for the Detroit Lions, we made the comment that the Lions are about to unleash Jahmyr Gibbs on the league. Jahmyr Gibbs was just named the NFC Offensive Player of the Month in December.
After being named the Player of the Week.
Unleashed, I say.
Yes.
That, my friends, is unleashed.
Well, he had a nice month.
Oh, yeah.
5 games or whatever it was, it was 5 or 6 games, but 9 touchdowns during the time.
Yep. I mean, look, we want David Montgomery healthy.
Yes.
NFL seasons are long. Having 2 quality running backs is a huge deal, but having Jahmyr Gibbs, I mean, in some ways they might be more dangerous offensively, having him on the field for more snaps, but in the snapshot of time of winning 1 football game, having just Jahmyr hasn't been a setback at all. And they might be better, in fact.
Do you like stats, Doug?
Sometimes. Sometimes I find that we get caught up in them. But why? You got something good?
Yes. Comes from the Lions PR. Just no shock they're going to promote something good, as they should. When teams have thrown passes in the end zone against the Lions this year, they've thrown the ball 52 times into the end zone.
Yep.
What do you think? How many completions do you think out of 52?
I got to tell you, this is intriguing because they've done a really good job. And Darnold, what do we say, 2 for 11 for 6 yards in the red zone. So that's not thrown into the end zone.
Yeah, this is throws into the end zone.
There was I think we had a stat earlier in the year that it was more likely to get intercepted. It was thrown into the end zone than become caught for a touchdown. But I don't know, are they less than 50%?
Considerably less. Only 7 out of 52 passes that have been thrown into the end zone have been completed this year against the Lions for a total of 71 yards. Obviously, the seven are for touchdowns. They've thrown six interceptions. The quarterback rating during that time, when they throw into the end zone against the Lions, 39.6 is the quarterback rating. It marks the most interceptions, lowest completion percentage, and lowest passer rating by any NFL team. When we talk about bend but don't break and what they've done to just kind of get along, get through games, and deal with the injuries, next man up, all that, rise to the challenge, this is what it's about.
This is one of those stats that's so good, I'm not sure I believe it. Like, that's 7 of 52
yep.
NFL quarterbacks against the Lions defense on passes attempted into the Lions end zone, 7 of 52 with 7 TDs and 6 interceptions?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
Normally, I might say something like that's a little misleading because, okay, you know, I would imagine most touchdowns are scored by somebody running into the end zone, not catching a ball in the end zone. But when it says that it's the most interceptions, the lowest completion percentage, and the lowest passer rating by any NFL team, well, that puts it back into perspective and says, yes, that is impressive. They're the best in the NFL at not allowing touchdown passes when teams are trying to throw it into the end zone.
That's incredible.
It's impressive.
Wow. Okay, that was worth it. It's totally worth it.
Thank you, Doug.
Okay, I found this. And this trade just cracks me up. This is from the Ontario Hockey League. Saginaw and Kingston just swung a trade. Are you ready?
Yes.
Kingston has traded for a forward, Joey Willis.
Joey Willis is leaving Saginaw?
He's going from Saginaw to Kingston.
Uh-oh.
In return.
All right. Give me the return.
Saginaw gets forward Ethan Weir.
Okay.
A 2026 second round pick.
Uh-huh.
A 2028 second round pick.
Sure.
2025 third round pick.
Okay.
A 2026 third round pick.
All right, sir.
A 2027 third round pick.
What?
A 2028 fourth round pick.
Oh, my goodness.
A 2027 fifth round pick and a 2028 seventh round pick.
Who is the guy going to Kingston?
Joey Willis. For Ethan Weir and 8 draft picks.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
And if you're Ethan Weir, you're like, do they really even want me?
Joey Willis is from the Chicago area. He's 19.
Yep.
5'11". He's a center. I'm just seeing, what has he done this year? I mean, in 26 games with Saginaw, 17 goals and 17 assists. He's got, you know, more than a point a game.
Kenny, you're a hockey guy. You're a hardcore hockey guy. This is one player traded for another player and 8 draft picks in the Ontario Hockey League.
So I don't know any of these guys, but what I will tell you is the OHL is notorious for having the wackiest trades that you can imagine. This would fall under that category.
That's sure. A bang, yes. Right there.
Yes.
How many draft picks did you say?
8. 2 second rounders, 3 third rounders, a fourth, a fifth, and a seventh. And they, like, Saginaw, I didn't even get to, like, they own Flint's second round pick in 2026. They're trading that. They're trading Erie's second round pick in 2028. They're trading Niagara's third round pick in 2025. Their own third round pick in 2026. Kingston is getting their third round pick in 2027 back. They are trading an Erie pick in 2028 in the fourth round. Kingston's getting their fifth rounder in 2027 back. And they got a seventh rounder from Kitchener in 2028 that they've thrown in.
Oh, they're bringing Kitchener, huh?
Yep. Kitchener Rangers throwing that draft pick.
Huh? Yeah, so they're...
Lake Monsters, Rangers.
It appears that there's quite a bit of wheeling and dealing that's already taken place in Saginaw.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like the standard in the OHL is these crazy, nonsensical trades that would never make sense in the context of any other sport.
That's a lot of draft capital for the fourth round pick by the National Predators from 2023.
Yep. So, yeah, right? How good is Joey Willis?
maybe 17 goals, 17 assists in 26 games.
So we'll open up the phone lines. Is this Saginaw's Goff trade? 2-4-8-5 Because what if Weir turns out to be worth it and they got all this draft capital?
Yeah, they got a lot of kicks at the can here, don't they?
Dude, this is crazy.
We're not going to know the full effect of this trade, Doug.
No, we're not.
Not for several years.
Not until after they've made the last pick in 2028.
And really, it's just about the impact it has on Saginaw.
Well, Kingston's clearly going for it. And Saginaw's clearly in trying to rebuild here. God, that's hilarious.
That
I thought you'd like that.
That is something.
Yep. All right. So, you know what I noticed? I haven't seen... We were so disappointed when the Lions Inside the Den never came out
For the draft?
For the draft. And they're doing this under the huddle, under the helmet thing, where they kind of like just spend time with a player. You know who they had this week? They had Alex Anzalone. And it's like showing him at home and all that. He's a really cool guy.
Yeah.
I like Alex Anzalone. And it's kind of just cool to get to see the players in their own environment.
I think it always is. I liked, you know, the receiver show when they showed Amon-Ra St. Brown out for dinner with his parents. And, of course, it localizes and you see restaurants and
yeah.
You know, bars or just, you know, places we see every day here in our area that we go to. It's kind of cool to see that. Oh, look at that. They're there in Birmingham or they're up in, you know, the Petoskey area or whatever. You know, it's just it's kind of cool to see that.
Yep.
So I saw this last night, Doug, when they debuted it or, you know, put it out. I love Alex Anzalone now.
Really?
He might be my favorite Lion now. And I'm completely admitting it's because we have two young children, you know, under the age of, you know, six or whatever. I actually want to set up a play date if he's listening. make that happen, Solomon. So anyways, but no, I love this guy because he is just a down-to-earth regular guy. Like, he wants to do well in sports and football, of course, but in the end, he's a husband and father, and that's what means, you know, maybe the most to him. And I can relate to that so much. And remember last year also, guys, when after the Lions, you know, they lost to the Niners in the NFC Championship game, they did their exit interviews and all stuff. He wrote something for the Player Tribune about watching the Super Bowl or not, and the fourth down call that was made in the NFC title game. Like, and he said at the end, we'll be back. We will be back. I know this because I believe in everyone in this room around in this locker room, all this stuff. And, you know, knock on wood, they're the number one seed right now. And just watching this yesterday, you know, I just, like I said, I really, it's personal to me because I really relate to his situation where he's at in life.
So he's elevated to now your favorite Detroit.
Seriously, yeah. It's that much
for
me. He
fits one of the critical criteria that I think happens with people. It's when you have a low expectation for someone and they far exceed your expectations, you love them more right. than you normally would. When somebody, you expect them to be really good and they are really good, you like them. And certainly that it's a reason enough for somebody to become your favorite player. Jared Goff is the prime example of a guy that came here with little expectation from this fan base. He was going to be the bridge quarterback. They got the two first round picks to draft their next guy.
Who are they going to take? Yeah.
And essentially, it feels like they got three first-round picks because Goff is playing like a first-round quarterback, and they had the two first-round picks, so they end up spinning into using it.
A million
four.
Other things,
yeah, yeah, it was four first-round picks when it was all said and done. But, yeah, that's – and I'm going to assume here you didn't have a huge expectation for Alex Anzalone when they brought him in.
I'm not sure the Lions did. They signed him to a one-year deal, and they followed up that year with another one-year deal. It was not until after that they gave him the long-term, you know, the three-year, more guaranteed money, all that stuff. And, I didn't have high expectations for him. And, you know, I wasn't sure, you know, what he would be for the Lions, but I definitely didn't know he was going to be the captain and the leader of this defense when they signed him.
Yeah, it was one of those signings. It was just kind of like, okay, all right, they got a guy they're going to give more playing time to. And, you know, when you go back in time and think about it, is that kind of what the Yemeek Robertson signing is? It's kind of the same thing. Like, Robertson didn't get a big chance to start with the Raiders, you know, but got some starts, but, you know, played and showed some ability.
Yeah.
But the Lions were like, you know what, we're going to give you a chance and see if you can, you know, shine on the stage, and he has. I think it was the same thing they did with Anzalone, and now they're doing it with Robertson.
Okay, let's do something here. Who is your favorite Detroit Lion who doesn't have the football in his hands? The non-skill position player, current Detroit Lion, who's playing for the Lions now. 248-539-9797. Let's take 10 texts. Let's do
it. We'll you said he doesn't have the ball in his hand, so that eliminates Penei Sewell.
Yeah, Penei Sewell's out.
Penei Sewell's allowed. A non-skill position, Detroit Lion. Who is your favorite? Can, and maybe it's just, does anybody have a favorite Lion that's not a skill position player? We'll take the first 10 texts. Remember to sign your text at 248-539-9797. I got a guy that might be my favorite Lion. And it's for goofy reasons, but he might be my favorite Lion.
Goofy, okay.
Do you have one, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we got a big one.
Okay, we will get to the R's, and we will read your 10 texts coming up today.
You're welcome.
At 105 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.